Greetings, adventurers, and welcome to a special episode of Return to EverQuest, a podcast where we revisit and discuss the classic game of EverQuest. In today's special episode, I'm joined by my co-hosts Derek and Carlos, and special guests Jeff and Sean, the hosts of ForeverQuest. For those in our audience who don't know what ForeverQuest is, well, it's the longest-running current EverQuest podcast out there. And before we dive into our interview, we want to thank you for listening to our show and taking the time to subscribe and rate our show. Now let's begin. Jeff, Sean, welcome to Return to EverQuest. We're so glad to finally have you on the show. And if you don't mind, can you both introduce yourselves to our listeners by telling them a little bit about yourselves and ForeverQuest?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I usually don't go first. You're always the one to talk. I was going to let you talk here.
You want me to go first?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Oh,
thanks. I appreciate that. Well, my name is Sean. I play an enchanter. I play also a mage in EverQuest. But Jeff and I played a long time ago, back when it first came out. And he bought the game for me, actually, as a gift, a birthday present, only to get me hooked on the game and then stay at my house continuously to play the game alongside me. So I actually owe you a lifetime of regretfulness because of it. Thank you for that. I appreciate you.
Happy birthday.
Exactly.
I think your wife and I would probably have I have a good relationship with your wife, but I think it would be even better if I hadn't bought you EverQuest. I have a feeling.
Yeah, she still tells stories of smoke-filled rooms trying to sleep. Yeah, so there is that.
I'm Jeff. I'm the other half of ForeverQuest. We started it about 10 months ago when we discovered that EverQuest was still around. Honestly, we didn't know that. And Sean didn't even believe me when I told him that. I'm like, you can still play EverQuest. He's like, no, you can't. I'm like, yeah, there's like 83 people watching it on Twitch. It's huge. So he's like, all right, let's check it out. And we were just instantly hooked again. And we play, but, you know, primarily it's about us playing specifically, you know, with each other and explaining our adventures to everybody.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm excited to have you on because I've been a longtime listener of your show, listen to every episode. So I really enjoy it. And if you're out there listening and you want more EverQuest podcast goodness, please check out and subscribe to ForeverQuest. It's quite a good show. So I know that keeping Jeff here wrangle this course, so I'm going to be on my A game. But we have some topics and questions we want to dive into. Carlos, I know you want to start us off, so over to you.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions for you guys. The first one, obviously, like you mentioned, you started playing EverQuest very early on. And how did that start? I know that we heard a little bit about it from Sean's perspective, but what about you, Jeff? Like, what happened? How did you learn about the game? How long did it take you to hate it or love it? How did that start?
Yeah. This fits right into the last podcast we recorded yesterday, actually. And it's the way it started for me is when I was a little kid in Michigan, central Michigan, surrounded by farms. My older brother in middle school got a copy of the Red Dungeons and Dragons box, you know, the starter set, and a couple modules to go with it. And he would play with his middle school friends. And I was in elementary school, but I would get my hands on this stuff every once in a while. Go to the neighbor, because they wouldn't let me play. I was too young, but I would take them over to the neighbor's house and play, and just we didn't know what we were doing, had no idea, but I would just have a ball. So when Magic the Gathering came around and I met Sean, we were both like, this is like Dungeons and Dragons, this is the best, let's get into it. And we got into it for a long time, but then all of a sudden, boom, this game drops called EverQuest. And we literally like ditched Magic the Gathering as soon as we started playing EverQuest. We're like, this is even better, this is Dungeons and Dragons, but now in a virtual world, this is perfect. And as far as love, hate, I mean, back then, it got to the point where all I cared about was like raiding in a guild, and it was stressful that I didn't let them down, and I started to hate that. Mm-hmm. And I would say now I'm at a point where in P99, we'll probably get there, but I'm learning that if you get too competitive in P99, that can also turn into a love-hate situation. Sean's laughing.
And then obviously we heard that Sean got it as a birthday present, and kind of you started playing together. I'm assuming you guys grouped up and then started meeting new people that way, right?
He didn't create a character for a while. He didn't buy the game himself for a while. He just came to my house and played and my character. And what he would do, actually, this is the worst part about it, which he didn't obviously tell you, is that he would get on my character and then he would be himself, which is the, you know, this person going around and just picking and making fights and like doing all this crazy just doing stupid things, yelling things out. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that, man. You can't yell at people. You can't just shout things out like that. You can't just leave a group and go and you know, because we were a monk, and he just feigned death and people would die. I'm like, you can't do that.
What are you talking about? I wouldn't do that. The worst thing I remember me doing is we were trying to get good at trade skilling jewelry as a low-level monk, which was a horrible idea. We blew all of our money, but I remember being at the end of the docks in Freeport, and everybody who would walk by, I'm like, hey, we're level 20 jewelry. Isn't that pretty good? And I wouldn't leave them alone. And I was like, stop it, dude. You're being annoying. And I thought it was so funny, bragging to everybody about how good we were, and not stop sending them toes.
Awesome. Awesome.
And so you guys were sharing one character? You guys would just play one on as a monk?
Yeah, we played a monk. I mean, I don't think we even made it past level 25. Honestly, we would take forever. We would skill up. Like you said, we were trying to be a jeweler. We couldn't even carry that much stuff. And making platinum, like none of that stuff even registered at that time.
Oh.
You guys are probably running 12-hour shifts, right? one-off, early days.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
It was peanut butter sandwich. This is what it was. It was a little wooden desk, this old computer that was like stained from cigarette smoke on the bottom right-hand corner of the monitor, because that's where this ashtray was. And the ashtray was always completely overfilled because we would both just chain smoke. We both quit smoking since then. Kids don't smoke. And we would fill up his whole place with smoke. And then all Sean would do to sustain himself on food was coffee and peanut butter sandwiches, man. He'd have like two peanut butter sandwiches over like a 9-hour session and three like pots of coffee and a ton of cigarettes. Just wreck EverQuest.
And that kind of ties into the next question I have. I was listening to one of your podcasts and you were mentioning how back in those days, obviously nobody holds your hand, right? It's trial by fire. And you guys were talking about assist/assist. And, you know, you were trying to help in the group. It's like, what the heck is going on? And my question to you is, did you guys have to learn that by just going at it and failing miserably? Or was there, did you guys finally get a good mentor who was actually, you know, had the patience to sit you down and kind of help you to learn the ropes as you go?
I'll take this one, Jeff. Just relax for a second. Take a deep breath. Yeah, so I'll give Jeff a lot of credit here. It didn't happen until he started playing the game with his own character, because I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have asked. I would have just struggled and struggled until I figured it out myself. But he got us into a guild eventually and group of situations all the time. When he started playing, I was like, it's just the two of us. Let's go do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? You can put like four or five other people in this group. Let's do that. Like, that's so much better. And I had never grouped people, none of that stuff.
And I would do that thing that you hear a lot of people talked about, which is the old binders. I worked at this plastic extrusion company down in Hastings, Minnesota, you know, like working on early computer stuff, like call center routing to different people and stuff like that. I was like the programmer, these calls go here. And how long is it waiting for people to answer? And while I was doing that job, I would go online to Alakazam and just print everything out and just take it all back home with me and put it in a binder. So I'd have all the maps of Butcher Block. And you hear stories about that from a lot of old players, because Alakazam was kind of the way we would get all that information.
Gotcha. Yeah. I kind of want to expand that to the audience. Like for me personally, to Anthony and Derek, I never heard this from your end. But for me, I had the pleasure of actually getting into EverQuest with a friend who already played it for quite some time. So he was like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, somebody babysat me for like the first 25 levels. So for me, it wasn't that bad. You know, yeah, you visit, like you said, you go to Alakazam to make sure to get to your spells that you need to get. But yeah, it was actually quite a good experience for me.
I remember Anthony and I, when we started, we started on a PvP server and we started as gnomes. And we stayed, I remember me, and I think it was the same thing, we stayed level 2. It took me like 2 days to get from level 2 to 3. It was insane. And back then, you would lose experience when people killed you, so it'd be you'd constantly fighting other characters that are trying to fight in the newbie zone with you. And it's just, you lose a level, and then it takes two days to get a level back. It was just mind-numbing. And we knew nothing about the game. We didn't know what the maps or what the zones were. It was just a huge learning curve for us. Remember that, Anthony?
I was born in the dark.
Yeah, I remember, man. It was rough, you know. It was dark days. But you know, we were forged from hellfire of the PvP servers. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No, I could never do that.
What I can tell, because I've listened to all your guys', and it seems like you guys figured it out. Though I think by the time Sean and I left, like 15 years ago, we still hadn't figured it out. And when we came back, if you listen to our first couple episodes, we knew nothing, and I'm still learning stuff. I literally just learned the other day, And I, Druid is my number one character. I learned the other day that Superior Camo can be cast inside dungeons.
What is Superior Camo? I'm not familiar with it. Because I've only played a Necromancer. I played a Necromancer as I think he's the only character I got above level 20. And I got him up to level 80 to 85. And I just soloed with that guy in a PvP server. So all I would do is like some days I would just log in to do PvP. That's it. And then the other days I would level up my character on my own in some obscure zone somewhere. Like, I don't know if they have it in your server, Cata Castellum. I don't know if they have that there. It's in, you know what? That's in Lachlan, so they don't have it in yours. But yeah, these obscure zones where no one goes to stay away from other players. But yeah, go explain to us what that spell is that you're talking about.
Just druids are notorious for some of their best spells only work outside. Harmony being like the best example of it. Harmony is an amazing spell. It can never have a critical resist, so you're never going to get a creature attacking you when you cast Harmony on it, which is what makes it so great. And it's also usually doesn't get resisted. And anyway, so a lot of spells only work outside. So there's this early druid spell called Camo, but you try to go in a dungeon. It's invisibility is what it is. But you try to go in a dungeon and cast it, and it says, no, this can only be cast outside. Well, later on, you get one called Superior Camo. I just thought it lasted longer. And then I was in a dungeon with somebody in our guild, actually. Shout out to RDW. And he's like, why don't you, I could cast Camo on you in Gook. And I'm like, no, you can't.
I think it around level 20, the Camo. But my first ever character was a druid as well, so a halfling druid. So I do love that race, because you can also solo with it if you wanted to. I mean, you want to be extremely antisocial, you can do that. But you'll be like the bum healer of the group from time to time, instead of being a cleric. But yeah, I mean, I like the versatility of druids. So
wonder what they were thinking with when they. Found out that he didn't know about Superior Camo. Like, look at this guy. Yeah.
Nobody. That's the thing. See, for me, that's the beauty of this game. Nobody tells you anything, right? And it's just like real life. You just got to find out one way or another. Like nowadays we have the internet and everything, so it's a lot easier. But a lot of times it's just face palm. It's like, oh my god, I've had this spell for the past 20 levels, and I had no idea I could use it. That's. I think the beauty of EverQuest, I mean, it's just trial and error, and that's what I like about it. but
you guys know a lot about the game. Who's the best out of you as far as like teaching each other what spell does what?
I would say, I don't know how the squares are on yours. I'm trying to point up to, but I will give it to either Anthony or Derek. We also have a good friend. He was the fourth member, Winklebone Steven. He's also very, very knowledgeable about the game. So you can ask him anything, and he'll just give you a nice discourse of the spell and what it does. So it's really
good. Well, I get the luxury of getting a text from my brother every couple days before our session night on Saturdays. He's like, make sure you buy these spells. I'm like, why are you looking at the enchanter spells, man? That's my job.
Oh, okay. This is what I'm working with here. No. Okay, Sean, you know this, man. Enchanter had this spell. So we're sitting here. We have a group of five or six people, right? So we're going to these dungeons and we're killing red mobs. Well, the wizard can't cast on red mobs. Okay, so I'm practically useless, and they're telling me to just root mobs, and I'm sitting there trying to root and I'm getting all the aggro. So, and anyways, they're having all the fun. So. I find out that I start looking through the enchanter spells. I said, something's not right. And he has a spell called Intellectual Superiority, and it allows me to cast on red mobs that he didn't even know about or care to buy or whatever. So I have to sit there and make sure these guys are on top of their game.
Yeah, I have someone who does that to me too. He's in box number 3 over here to my left.
It's okay. Two more. I'm gonna put a little extra question here. Jeff, this one's for you. Is it just in our group, but do you feel that normally enchanters are a bit big-headed? They think that they're overconfident in a lot of situations.
Man, kind of in the way Gandalf or like Dumbledore is, I guess. Like, they are very powerful. They're super OP. They're totally full of themselves too. And like, Dumbledore even admits to that, right? I bring up Harry Potter on ours a lot. Like, Dumbledore admits like that you don't want him to be in charge of the ministry because he would go rampant with that power, and he's not perfect, as well as like Gandalf is like, don't give me the ring. So I think the thing is that they're quite flawed. Like, extremely flawed, but they're also extremely powerful, so we got to give them that.
Okay, good answer. Very diplomatic.
I like that.
I'll take it.
I like that.
Okay, and one last one. Because you guys are playing in P99, and would you ever consider moving over into Daybreak and coming to the Time Lock progression servers at all? Or are you guys too invested in that game, like as in the original EverQuest, without all the good improvements that they've done?
You want me to go first, Sean? Whatever. Say I talk too much because you don't talk. All right. So I'm going to be really quick here. Absolutely. I'm already thinking about it. God darn it. Sean, your brother keeps calling me and I don't have my phone muted. Right. I'm so sorry.
All right. I can answer the question.
Unprofessional guest appearance here.
You want me to answer the question?
Go ahead.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the answer is we'd totally love to. We've been talking quite a lot about it. I think that we are waiting for the next one to let us know when the next one was going to happen. And then I think we were going to join it from the get-go so that we get that feel. But the latest epic drop times FOMO equation is it's really difficult to deal with. It changes people's perspective of the game like really dramatically. And for someone like me, I don't really care because I'm not going to get involved. I'm seeing it coming and going, yep, going the other way. Like you were saying, going out to that far zone when nobody's at just to get my AXP. That's what I'm doing, right? I'm not going to get involved. But the druid over there doesn't have that luxury because everybody needs his help all of a sudden.
So I would say for those who are listening who are only on TLPs, Sean and I, we didn't know what we got into when we got into it. We were just like, hey, you can still play EverQuest. I'm like, hey, you can play it for free. And it's the first three expansions. It's what we played back in the day. So we're like, why not? It took a while before we learned that it's like this different thing, right? We thought we were just playing another old server. But it's not as much fun anymore because on P99, they don't have instances of zones and targets. So when Vox pops, everybody runs towards Vox and only one guild gets it. And when Trachanon pops, everybody's sitting there all day poop socking or whatever they call it, and only one guild gets it. And then they get mad at each other because, oh, you engaged it too quick. And, oh, you were training it for 5 seconds and didn't let us engage it. And, oh, you zoned in 2 seconds before you were supposed to. I'm going to go on the UN now and complain and all this stuff. And it's really just not super fun. So everybody, for the listeners, everybody else is laughing right now, shaking their head like this is ridiculous. So yeah, I think honestly, I think that is going to be almost like season two of our podcast. The more I think about it, I think that when the next TLP comes out, it's just the next logical progression for us on this EverQuest journey we're doing. And I'm really excited to mess around with Zade God in a Mando guild a little bit, because I do like the hardcore aspect a little bit. And that sounds like a lot of fun to me. For those who don't know, there's this streamer called Zade God, who Zaide God, who he has a guild that they run. And when your character dies, you have to delete it. And I just think that's really cool. And, you know, sometimes the characters don't make it very far.
That's hardcore.
Wait.
As a cleric, I got to ask, what if you get revived? You know,
No. There's, by the way, that's not it either. You can't be power leveled. You can't be given any gear. You can only buy what you get off a vendor, and you can't buy something off a vendor that somebody else sold to it. You can only buy from vendors the things they're supposed to have. It's hardcore stuff.
So Jeff, what if you make your character level 60 in that guild and you got your epics, you got everything, right? And then you go to log off and somebody trains something on you. Boom.
Done.
I don't know if you get to level 60 in that situation. Like Zade God is really good at the game, and I watch him play in this style, and he usually gets to somewhere between like 22 and 30, it seems, is this cutoff point where just he dies with somebody every time. He's like, all right, let's re-roll a new character. Wow. Let's do it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, I'm not hating on P99. P99 is a great project, just to have something as pure. And you know me, I like things hard and the way that they wanted it to be back in the original state. But as we know, as we get older, we obviously have other things that we got to do in our day to day life, and we have less time to actually go and commit. So I think that the TLPs are very good at that. Are very good for you to put in. We only put in one day a week, for example, and we're at 20. We're almost at 30.
25. Right? 20, yeah. 25.
25. So, and that's only a few sessions. So, and it makes it so much easier because you don't have to do the corpse runs. You don't have to worry about a lot of the things that you do when it comes to the original game. So, yeah, if you guys ever come, let us know. It'll be very exciting if you guys want to go and join the, you know, the gnome race. I know that you guys hate them. I don't know, for some reason.
my mage is a gnome.
Oh, well, yeah. Good to know.
Riding with gnomes, I think a gang of gnomes riding little donkey horses is weird. So to put a cherry on top of how crazy these P99 servers are and how hard they are, and it does get a little disgusting. Like, I realize how disgusting this is. It's like, you get to level like 54 and you put in like a 4-hour session, get like maybe 2 bubs of experience.
Right.
Maybe. If you're lucky, if you don't have corpse runs. Who made this game?
Hey, Anthony, tell them how fast you leveled in the live server.
Yeah, I wrote, I think, in their Patreon Discord. So, if I played on a live server 30 minutes and I level 8 levels, and I'm talking like levels 19 to 27. It's ridiculous. Like, you kill a monster, it's like, ding, kill a monster, ding. And I showed my gear, and it was, I had my gear at level 12. I had almost 3,000 hit points. I could, like, if I was on a P99 server with my level 12 Shadow Knight, I would destroy probably the highest ranked player. There's my newbie gear. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Easy. I will say this. I don't like, it's like Goldilocks, right? P99 is too hot. You know, the live is too cold. The TLP is just right, though. You know, it's just right. It's in the middle.
So. Do you know when up? Does anybody know?
Do we know when the next one opens up, the next TLP?
Yeah.
There's only rumors. And I think they say they're going off of historical data, which is they normally announce them around the springtime or early summer. So I think there's a lot of people out there who think they will have one in May or June. That's all rumor, though. There's not been an official announcement from Daybreak, as far as I know. So we'll see.
Do you all have plans to join that as well, or are you going to stay where you're at?
I think our plans right now are to stay till level 60 on Eridune, but we'll see. You know,
3 more sessions.
Three more weeks. We'll be there. You know, we'll be there pretty soon. But if you guys played like at your pace on a TLP, you would reach the max level much more quickly. But you know, there's some good in that because you could explore more zones. You can make different characters. I think there's some positive in that experience as well. Derek, I think you had some questions that kind of tie into this as far as EverQuest, different characters and whatnot.
Yeah. I have some stuff real quick. I just wanted to mention your Forever Quest podcast. Like I've said before we started, I've listened to quite a few of them. And I really like it for the viewers that haven't heard it. It's very similar in that you got friends returning to EverQuest, but there's a different aspect to it because they're more of the end game now. And you get to hear a lot of that end game material that people are not usually exposed to, which is what I like about it. So I wasn't really into raiding when I was with my level 80 character. I did a couple raids, but not too much. So that's what I like to gather from your guys' podcast. And so I have a couple questions I wrote down here for you guys. This is for the audience to get to know you guys better. And my first question is, I guess I'll do this one for Sean first. So which EQ character class would you say best fits Jeff's personality and why?
It's a good one. Well, so, I mean, he's always played a druid, which kind of fits his personality, but I have to go with cleric because he always does want to help. Like, one of his gifts that he learned early on, which is a power to himself as well, is that he has the ability to see people's greatest weaknesses and their greatest strengths. And so, you know, people could use that to bad ends if they chose to, and that would be more the necromancer style. But you know, I think that he uses it to the good, and he uses it to help people understand what their strengths are and promote them in some ways.
Interesting. What about you, Jeff? What do you think character class best explains Sean's personality and why?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bard or the enchanter. I don't know. I just imagine somebody who's like, look, and is like, I'm not upset. And is like controlling everything around them. But at the same time, like, I know everything and I'm not upset at all.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I'm not upset. I got everything under control. Ow, smack, smack, smack. And then, you know, complains about it. But But I know he also loves playing a necromancer. To be honest with you, I feel like I maybe don't know. I feel like I could put him into a couple different characters and it would work. I think a necromancer might work for Sean. I think a bard quite a bit because he can be quite charming when he wants to. And I think the fact he would have to click those buttons nonstop would make him feel very powerful. Like he was really working really hard, you know?
But necromancer? Like how, what, why necromancer? I'm curious to hear about that.
Well, why Sean with the, he loved, we played EQ2 and he loved a necromancer. And again, it came down to the power. I think Sean really wants to play classes that like a little OP and just kind of can do what they want to do when they want to do it. I don't think he like his first class ever was a ranger and he's never gone back to like a sub. I'm sorry to all you rangers out there. I'm really sorry. But I remember back when we would play a ranger on and his character, he could never find a group anywhere. So ever since then, he's been like, nope, I'm making powerful broken classes.
Yeah. Necromancer, it to me reflects like a recluse type personality because you're right. They're overpowered. You could do whatever you want in that game. You could play the entire game from 1 to 115 by yourself if you wanted to and never get a group. I mean, never need a group. So they are one of the most powerful classes.
Did you mention that, Derek, one time that you said that that's what you like to do, go to the least populated and
yeah,
have it all on your own as a macro?
Yeah, because you just, you know, you're killing, you kite the mobs. What you do is you cast a darkness on them and then they're chasing you while your pet's backstabbing and you cast these dots on them and you're riding on a horse and you never run out of mana ever. And you just repeat and repeat and repeat over and over again. And compared to a group, I think it was better experience than a group because you had to share all that experience. But with this, it's just nonstop, boom, 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 one kill. And like you said, they could do anything. And the feigned death, you didn't barely ever die. You could replenish it. You could heal yourself with the life taps. I mean, most overpowered class, in my opinion. Enchanters, and enchanters too, I agree. They could do almost anything as well. But I don't know if they could solo to that level in those higher levels.
I just charm necromancers and use them as my picks.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So I'll move on to my second question.
And I believe change classes around and balance stuff over time.
Yeah. They've balanced them. But when I went to play the live server, I just logged into my Necro for once since I started because I have them on another account. And they destroyed the PvP server, in my opinion, because usually when you go to the plane of knowledge and you click on a book and you go to a zone, people could be there waiting for you and then just kill you, right? But now they made it like there's a 20-second invincibility. So if you go in there and people are there, then you just zone out. And they just, in my opinion, they destroyed the PvP aspect of the entire game. But real quick, give me 1 second. I'm going to move on to my second question for you guys. Which part of EQ do you enjoy more? The pre-game, the pre-end game, or the end game rating aspect?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Just poo-pooing the rating aspect in P99 because of how competitive it is. But man, the people is just, that's the reason you end up doing it. Like you end up going on a couple of raids with the same, we're inveterate on P99 and their whole brand, I would say, is to just take the high road and just try to be cool. And just so nice once you start to get to learn people's voices and start to group with some people a couple times. And, you know, some of them are even in our like Discord and stuff like that. And so it's a real draw. You know, you see the monsters for the first couple times. You see Kazakh, though, you see Vox and you do it. And it's really fun the first couple times, but the novelty does wear off. But what keeps you coming back is you get to hang out with this community every week that you get to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I think the end game is spectacular when you're with a group of people that makes it that way. And that's what's difficult about it. Cause I think it's easier to get a small group of people together and really enjoy the game. Like obviously that's what you guys are doing to a full extent. You're reliving some of it, but you're also in a small enough group that and friends that you can just get along and share the gear and all that stuff. When it expands out to multiple people, multiple groups, it just becomes more and more difficult. But I think that we're just super lucky and we find ourselves in a place where, like, I don't think I'd ever want to stop playing with Veneret on that server, you know, even if I went to do this other thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to, because they've made it feel like a home to me and really comfortable and fun.
You think if you guys were playing on a PvP server and you ran into these issues where Vox popped and somebody gets there, you know, everyone's going to the zone at once. I mean, how do you think that would play out from what you guys seen?
Wow, that's an awesome question.
PvP?
Yeah.
I like that.
If you were on a PvP server and you guys wanted Vox and you see another guild headed over there to take it out, how do you think that would work out?
That would be very intense. I think you would really find out who the best guilds were really quickly. I mean, and I think what would end up happening, honestly, is that the best, what they would do is they would train you. They would train the mobs, the best bards would train the dragons onto that, to the other guild, and just wipe you that way, and then pick up the mess after. That's mostly what happens anyways, but that's what they would attempt to do.
Interesting. Now, here's another question for you guys. I'll start off with Jeff on this one. So what is Sean's best and worst in-game traits? For example, I'll use these for example. Who's the first to run away when danger arises, or who most easily communicates with others and orchestrates the groups, or who takes the longest to get prepared for an event? Those are some examples. So what's his best and worst trait that he utilizes in the game?
Okay, a couple best traits. First of all, I'm pretty sure he's better at actually playing the game than I. My concentration will break. And if you're playing a critical class, especially on a raid or just in a really tough group, you can't have like these momentary breaks of concentration where like, I'll look over here for 10 seconds. And I think he's pretty good at that, of like staying on the ball and trying to play correctly. Not that he always does it, but I think he's pretty good at that part. Plus, he's, like I mentioned earlier, he's my emotional support animal. That might have been before we started recording, I don't know, but sometimes I'll get frustrated in game and he just calms me down. He's like, just whatever, we're just having fun. So I think those are his best qualities. He puts the game into perspective, and I think he's focused when he's playing. He really doesn't want to let the group down, and he is focused, and he is really trying to do a good job and play his character well. And as far as the worst aspect, well, it's definitely, he mentioned it earlier, that he doesn't talk to anybody else. But he also expects those things to happen, or at least he acts like he does. He's like, why isn't this group coming together faster? Where is our res? Or how are we going to get a port over here? I'm like, you know, you can send tells to people. I'm doing all that. Sean's like, when are we recording? Why aren't we recording at this time? I don't like that time.
That's awesome. What about you, Sean? What about Jeff's best and worst traits in game?
He just laid it out right there. I mean, he really did just lay it out right there. let's see.
He's been holding that in for a while, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's been. Did he send that question to you?
Yeah, he did.
Can you please ask this for me, please?
Yeah.
Now, he's by far. He is the leader. Like he takes that role like extremely, really, really well. And I'm so grateful for it, because I can't do it. I do it in my real life all the time, and I just can't do it in this world of fun. I can't. And he does it so extremely well. That is definitely one of his best attributes, for sure, is he's very capable of holding all that stuff together. And it's a lot of communication and a lot of dealing with people. So I'm very grateful for that. His worst attributes are that same exact thing. Like he is like, so instead of healing me, he'll be talking to somebody.
Awesome.
He'll tell me too. He'll be like, no, but I was just setting up a podcast, so you can't really be mad, right? So it's like next Thursday at 5, so you can't be upset. It's not like there aren't 3 or 4 mezzed mobs and I have a pet while this is happening. And he's just like,
oh, that's awesome. I love it.
So it sounds like he you know, he's communicating, he's socializing. And he looks over to his screen and looks at the hit point bars. You know, does anybody need anything? You know, number one. There we go. Now we're good. Hey.
We do more than just heal.
I got one more question.
Well, that's the problem, is we have to stay on the ball.
Right.
It's funny to hear the clerics try to legitimize or try to make
mana management. You have to time the heals correctly. You got to know which heals to use. Sometimes if the buffs run out, you got to make sure, you know, if you need to replenish those buffs, make sure you keep that mana in mind, you know. Wait, I see Anthony's over there.
You got one job, man. One job. Yo, buffs. I got a buff all the time. Dude, the buffs are 20 minutes in between. You got like a 20-minute gap to recoup mentally to figure out when you're going to push that number two hot button listen, to heal somebody.
I'm not going to like
heal.
But you get sometimes you can't stop the puller from actually keep, you know, bringing in the mobs, and then, you know, the buffs, the people actually run out of time when it comes to the buffs. And some of those are pretty good. So
look, I'm just saying, I'm just saying, as an enchanter, when I hear this stuff, so like when I listen to Forever Quest, right, I'll be hearing Jeff talk about, like, it's like the episode in Da Vinci Code where all the math is flying. He's like, I have to time the complete heal to exactly on point. It's like,
Are we running out of time? Like, don't we have to move on?
Like, his math equations flying
around. Don't we have a hard stop?
It's like...
Right, it's not really about whether or not when you push the button, it's that the blue bar starts to move or not.
I love the fact that, especially for healers, like, people don't appreciate how much work they do unless something bad happens. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where was he?
Thank you.
Yeah, what was he? He had one job. Oh, man. I can't speak.
Heals take different casting times. So this one might take too long, and so we're like, we can't use that one because we got to cast a fast one, but it's an inefficient mana, so you have to make that call.
Right.
You're totally making calls after call after call.
Well, I'm glad we have a healer in this interview so we can actually talk about our groups and how much they appreciate us.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys' service. But, you know, I play a wizard, so I can't complain too much. The wizard, compared to an enchanter or bard, I understand it's a more simpler concept. But the amount of damage that the wizard does, just nobody else could really do that much damage. You know, it's just they do so much damage, and that's their key role in it. I don't know what their role is when it comes to raiding, because I've never had a high-level wizard. What is it at that level? Are they useless? Are they useful?
They're very useful.
Useful.
They're the only ones that can get you to certain places.
That's in Project 99. That is a huge asset. But in these TLP servers, like, they're coming out with Planes of Power in like 2 weeks, and that basically wipes out the Druid and Wizards a lot of their utility.
Well, also, we run into a lot of fights where they'll, especially dragon fights, where they're like, we need every Druid and we need every Wizard. Because some of these fights, some of the mechanics for certain mobs, you know, melee doesn't work too well, but fire damage does, for example. And what we find, or what I've noticed, is there is just not a lot of level 60 wizards. You know, there's a ton of level 60 clerics and monks and enchanters on TLP. They're super popular. Not a ton of wizards. And there's certain high level targets that you need to have wizards. And so they're very sought after in that case. I think Gorinair and Talendar are two in particular I hear about all the time. They're like, we can't do these guys unless we have wizards.
Interesting. Okay. One more question for you guys before I'm done. If you guys were the CEOs of Daybreak Games, what additions or improvements would you consider making to EQ? What do you think, in your opinions, EQ needs, if anything?
Well, before they did what they did, which was to allow you to have the instances, I always thought that was the key to allowing people to truly enjoy the game. But they did that. So I can't use that.
Good one.
It is. It was brilliant. It was really brilliant. I think the other thing would be to make some of the high, like, so right now, I'm not sure in the servers that you're in, if you're able to, can you in a small group go and just kill a dragon eventually? Will you be able to do that?
I think maybe if we had a party of six level 60 people, go kill a dragon. Yes. I don't think we can do it with like Nagafan, because I heard they upgraded them, so I don't know if we could do it with level 52 people. Maybe I've heard and I've read online that some people on live have done that kind of stuff, especially as the more expansions open up and you get like really crazy gear.
Yeah, like if you, yeah. I think they might have a level cap for some of that stuff. I'm not sure. Like if you're level 115, can you go into Lady Vox and Lord Nagafan? I also heard that they have these kind of like legacy zones, or they'll take the zone and make it a much higher level. So I'm not sure how the mechanics work out in those live servers.
That would be one of the things. The other thing that I always wanted was for them to, and maybe they did this too that I just don't know, but for the person to be able to create their own armor, or, you know, just one piece, a weapon, an armor, whatever you want to do And then, you know, it has to be with certain limitations, but like your epic, you can go and kind of add all these things to it to kind of make it what it is that you want it to be.
I like that. Go ahead, Jeff.
So I want to just do a complete rehaul, and granted, I don't play live, so I don't know what live's like, so it's hard for me to say the way I would change it. I believe Sean and I left during Gates of Discord, which is when a lot of people left. It's like, you know, when WoW was becoming super popular and when EQ2 came out is right when we left. So it's hard for me to say what to do in the current game and change it, but frankly, I would probably just scrap it. Or I don't know if scrap is the right word, but I would come out with a new game. And I would kind of, what I think would be cool is Minecraft, but like a D&D, more of a D&D version, more of an EverQuest version, like Minecraft, but you have strength and dexterity and an intelligence. Like, I don't think the graphics are that important, honestly. Maybe it's because I'm old, but sometimes all these new games coming out, all the graphics are just so amazing that none of them are amazing. It's just amazing, you know? And so none of them really stand out anymore, which is why I kind of like the Roblox and the Minecraft style of just dumb it all down. And that's one reason I like P99 too. I actually like these graphics. I think they could be polished up quite a bit to give you actual depth perception, because that's a problem in P99, is the depth perception kind of sucks. But I really like the simplified graphics. I think like a cubed, you know, Vox would be really cool. And so, yeah, I think make it easier for new players. Still make it hard. I think that's one thing that made EverQuest special, is still keep it kind of hard. But yeah, imagine Minecraft, but you actually have Dungeons & Dragons stats and weapons, and you can group up with people.
I thought they made an RPG Minecraft or something, didn't they? Something came out?
I don't know.
They have a lot of different Roblox, Minecraft versions coming out. Like
Minecraft, but you can make all your little worlds.
Because when Xbox, you know, Microsoft bought it out, and they made something. I'll have to look it up, the name of it.
Minecraft Dungeons or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's it. Minecraft Dungeons. Like you actually have like stats and stuff, and you level up, and they kind of want to take it to the RPG side of things instead of just being a sandbox game.
So I have a question here as we kind of wrap things up. I wanted to end on a note where when I first started listening to your show, you talked about your goal and some of your beginning episodes was to kind of smell the roses this time through and really explore the world of Norrath and get immersed in the lore. As we listen to you now, you're obviously in the end game, you're doing a lot of raids. So do you feel that you've accomplished kind of what you originally set out to do with Forever Quest?
Not yet. Not yet. I don't feel like we've accomplished it yet. I feel like maybe we're a quarter of the way there. If I were to try to put a road marker there, there's so much lore that I haven't even begun to touch. And there's so many dungeons, even in Kunark, that are just really abstract and have tons of storyline behind them that I haven't even touched. I mean, I've tried to go and get it, but, I want more. I definitely want more.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. A quarter. So Jeff, where do you fall on that? That's a pretty big statement. I'm kind of shocked.
I feel completely different. I feel like we're almost to the end of our road here, and it's time to find a new road, which the TLP could be that. But just like Sean said, I wouldn't want to lose touch with our guild, because I like these people now and I want to talk to them every week and hear their voices. And so, but you know, I don't know if we had too much of a goal other than just to treat it, you know, as a journey to see how it went. And, you know, originally I said I wanted us to get good at Kedge, because we'd never been in Kedge back in the day, back in the 2000s. We always thought it was too dangerous. So I wanted us to get into Kedge and get good at it. And I wanted to kill Vox. And I've dealt with those things. Sean hasn't killed Vox. Sorry, Sean. So I got those two done, and I've really enjoyed the game. And I feel like, I feel like in this version, in the P99 version, like I'm 90% done, honestly. I'm even wondering, like, how much do I really need the epic? How much do I need to hit 60? This has been quite a journey. Like, I'm ready for that TLP. I really am.
Wow.
Nice. Well, and you know, so just put it out here for everybody and for you. When another TLP does pop up, let us know. We're going to have a chat, because I'm sure we can play together. That'd be really fun to do. And I can say, as a person who's playing on a TLP and also hearing your kind of time commitment to P99, it's totally doable to do really well in accelerating your character on a TLP while also staying in the P99 realm. So for anybody else who's listening out there, if you're a P99er,
the time commitment to a TLP is very minuscule. So you can do both easily, I think, and get a good experience. It's not one or the other. It's not a binary. And I do appreciate both coexisting together. So yeah, Jeff.
And another thing I want to mention, just because we've been talking about TLPs and going there, I think there is something real to providing money to Daybreak Games to like somehow fund this game that I love. Like the reason that P99 drew us in initially is it was free. And initially that's what we love that. Like, let's do it. Let's do the free game. I love it. But now that we're playing it so much and I love it so much and we're doing this whole podcast based on it, I'm like, you know, I don't know. I would like it if we gave a little bit more back to the company that's actually allowing EverQuest to happen.
That's great. Sean, you got anything else before we close out here?
I'm good, brother. I really, really appreciate you having us on and having this a fantastic show that you guys produce.
No, thank you. And again, you guys are the oldest current running podcast. I hope it goes on for years. So keep it up. And, you know, thanks for being. I think this has been cool because I think we get along well. You know, some people might be like cutthroat and not like the other show to succeed. But I'll tell everybody there, I'm one of your patrons, and I'll tell our audience here, they have really cool bonus content where they do these deep dives. And if you want like to go to sleep, Jeff does this thing where he reads spells off a spellbook.
That's awesome, man.
You know, so, I mean, look, check them out. Forever Quest, go on Patreon, look them up, and you can get into the Discord, and there's a lot of fun stuff going on there. So I really mean that. It's worthwhile to listen to and support them, and I'll continue to do that. So for everybody who listened today, thanks for listening to our special episode of Return to EverQuest. A huge thank you both to you, Jeff and Sean, for coming on our show and joining us here today. And again, before we leave, I want to give you both a final opportunity to plug whatever it is you want our listeners to know or where to go to find you. Over to you.
I'll just plug a couple other streamers who have been nice enough to be on our podcast. Sweet D Willie, sweet guy who's been on our podcast. Pantheist Heathen and Zayd God, really great streamers. And you know, I want to keep that community strong. And also shout out to you guys. You guys bring a layer of lore and knowledge that we lack, and I think that's one of the good reasons there are more than one podcast, is because Sean and I bring what we bring. Like, you know, when Sean and I get mad at each other on the podcast, we're like legit mad. So you get to kind of see a little maybe bit of drama on our podcast. Sean's like, he's like, I'm not mad, he's mad. But So what you guys are bringing is like that story you guys told about unrest. Like, I really dug that. And it reminded me of the horror movie Funny Games, of like these crazy people coming into this like nice neighborhood and just messing it up. And I really like that. And so I love what you guys are doing. So plug you guys.
Yeah, I totally want to plug you guys. You're amazing. You're obviously really good people. You're very talented at what you're doing. The level of production that you bring is tremendous. The stories that you tell are fantastic. The characters you bring are, you know, I'm going to give great shout out to the characters. I love that stuff. But yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to have us on, and I'm just super grateful for it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for coming on. Good meeting you.
We had a blast. Yeah, thanks, man.
It's been a great time. And for everybody out there listening, look, we want to thank you again for joining us today. Check out Forever Quest, and we hope that we've earned your subscription or 5-star review. And as always, if you want to get a hold of us, reach us directly on Twitter 24/7. We got Tickle Winks working the Twitter 24/7, so don't worry about bothering him day or night. At Return to EQ. That's at Return the number 2 EQ. So we hope to see you next week with our regularly scheduled podcast, where we'll be discussing the Gnome Cruise victorious battle with the one and only Najenna. It's going to be a great time. All right, everybody, take care and have a good time. Hoo-ah.